As we begin the new church year, the church puts before us a number of images of Jesus that you and I are meant to hold as we move from week to week. And the image that is offered us today is the image of the servant of God. It is one of the oldest images used in Christian prayer. Jesus is the servant of God. The servant is not the slave. The servant is the alter ego. The servant is the one who stands in the place of the master. The servant is the one who negotiates for the master. The servant is the one who enters into contracts in the master's name. The servant is the one who oversees the wealth of the master. The servant is the one who is the visible presence of the master. There are many parables in the New Testament about the servant, the wise servant and the foolish servant, the faithful servant and the wicked servant. All of those parables are about fidelity. The servant is called to be faithful, to represent faithfully the master. I don't know of any passage in Scripture where a servant has a proper name. The person is always identified in relationship to the master. The servant of Moses, the servant of Abraham, the servant of Isaac. No personal names, just the relationship that person has with the master, that's their identity. Now, Jesus is the sacrament of God, physically present in the world. He embodies the very presence and the very mission of God. And that you and I come into union with God through him. In St. John's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to prepare a place for them, and then he's going to come back and take them with him, and where he will be, they also will be. And Thomas speaks up and says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how could we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me." Now, this is not meant to be an exclusive statement on Jesus' part. It's meant to be inclusive. It means that in him, all humanity, all of creation, is drawn into union with God. And that's really the meaning of those opening lines from St. John the Baptist in the Gospel today. "Behold, this is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world." The sin of the world is the rupture of the relationship between creation and God. The sin of the world is the alienation between creation and God. The sin of the world is what makes it impossible for human beings to enter into the fullness of a relationship with God. And Jesus restores that. See, another way of saying the words of the Baptist is to say, this is the Lamb of God, the one who reconciles the world, the one who restores creation and creator, the one who unifies what is broken. That's the work of Jesus. That as the sacrament of God's love and reconciliation, as the servant of God, as the tangible presence of God in flesh, in blood, he fulfills the will of God. He reconciles all things to God. And from that moment on, every single human being is drawn into union with God. You know, some explicitly and some implicitly. You know, you and I profess an explicit faith in Jesus Christ. That's not true of the vast majority of people on the face of the earth. I mean, most people don't even know the story of Jesus. And yet all of them are called into union with God. Now, I have no idea how God does that. What I do believe is that God seeks the salvation of all persons. And that God is a just God, and God would create a way for all human beings to draw into union with him. I'm not sure how that happens. Maybe we'll find that out one day. But what we do say is that that restoration is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That in the suffering, dying, and rising of Jesus, it has been made possible now for all humanity to be drawn into union with God. So the mystery of Christ, the sacrament of Christ, is cosmic in its dimension. It reaches far beyond, if you will, believing Christians. Its effect is among all of creation. For this is the Lamb of God who restores all, who reconciles all. And that's what we do here, week after week, as we come to celebrate the mystery of Christ, to celebrate the Eucharist. We celebrate the reconciliation by which the death and resurrection of Jesus restores all of creation into union with God. And so when we come before the Eucharist, when we come to receive the mystery of Christ, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are we who are called to share in his supper. What we celebrate is that universal reconciliation by which all the world is brought into union with God. And so in the first reading from Scripture from Isaiah, God says to the servant, it's not enough for you to restore Jacob and Israel. You will be a light to all the nations, announcing my salvation for all people. Now, that's what you and I are supposed to witness to. That's what you and I are supposed to testify to by the lives we lead, by the values we hold, by the work we do, by the way in which we engage the world. We are to be witnesses of the universal love of God and the universal salvation of all people. That's our job. And as we celebrate the Eucharist, and then as we go forth to our homes and our workplaces and our communities, our neighborhoods. That's what we as believers do. We announce the good news that all are called into union with God.